Now I will read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Oh, before that, I must just give the answer. I'm so glad that last night the Lord really has spoken. But there were many questions. I believe when I could stay here a week, I could have really have time to answer all your questions. But when after you have heard that we have to fight not with flesh and blood, with the very representatives of the headquarters of evil, many ask me, is that possible that a Christian can be influenced and even really under the power of an enemy? Then I must just tell you, my friend, you need the whole armor of God till the last moment of your life to stand at the victorious side. And that armor of God you can find in Ephesians 6, 10 till 12 and till 20. And there the Lord says, even when we have come to a standstill, still stand your ground. But the armor of God is Jesus himself. He in you, you in him. And you stand at the victorious side. Jesus is always victorious. You have only to keep in right relationship with him, and his victorious life will find you and flow through you and touch other people. Jesus brings you on victory ground. But as long as we are here, we are in a battle. Don't compromise, for then you are in great danger. Now today I will speak about the great joy of the total surrender to Jesus. Romans 12, 1, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Are you a corn of wheat, afraid to die? There is a cross and a throne in your heart. Is self on the throne, then Jesus is on the cross. Is Jesus on the throne, self is on the cross. Let his will be your will, and his way be your way, and all insufficiency and inaptitude shall be met by the sufficiency of his grace. The potter cannot form the clay as it is not totally laid in his hands. What does total surrender mean? Surrender means surrender your blunders. How do you feel after you have blundered? I feel bitter. I'm angry. How in the world could I, Corrie ten Boom, be so stupid? That's pride. I've learned that you must surrender your blunders. And you can never know what God does with it. There was a weaver's school, and there came a visitor, and he saw that the students made beautiful patterns, beautiful weavings. And he asked, say, what do you do when you make a mistake? Must you cut it out or start from the beginning? The student said, no. Our teacher is such a great artist that when we make a mistake, he uses that mistake to improve the beauty of the pattern. That's what Jesus does. You don't understand what I mean. I'll make it very practical. I was in Japan. I had a difficulty that it was for me as if in Japan there were only five different people and the rest were all the same like these five. They say when a Japanese comes here that we have all the same faces. It was difficult. Once I had a Bible group and I saw a gentleman coming. Seminary. He wasn't. He was a professor of a non-Christian university. But after I was through, I said, "And will you now say a word of prayer with us?" He said, "I? I've never prayed in my life." Suddenly I saw my blunder. I said, "Oh, professor, doesn't matter. I will pray." And I prayed. But afterwards, Japanese people are very polite, and he came to me bowing very deeply several times. He said, "Mr. Mohm, I'm so sorry that I couldn't do what you asked, but I had never prayed before." He said, "Professor, I honor you that you didn't do it. Perhaps someone who had been more superficial should have said a prayer, but I'm glad you didn't." Then I asked, "Why are you not a Christian?" He said, "Oh no, then I must first study Christianity." I said, "No, sir, in this book is not written, those who study Christianity, God gives the power to become a child of God, but those who receive Jesus, he gives them the power to become a child of God." And I showed him the way of salvation, and after half an hour, that man made his decision. What did the angels in heaven rejoice? Do you see the picture? God used the blunder of a dumb Dutch to save the life, the soul of that man, a strategic point in a university in Tokyo. Surrender your blunders. You can never know what God does with it. Surrender your worries. In the concentration camp, I knew why God had called Betsy and me to be in that terrible place. Many people had never heard of Jesus, and many could never hear of him afterwards because they were killed or died. But many died in our room with Jesus' name on their lips, and God had used Betsy and me to bring them on the way of salvation. That was worthwhile, all our suffering. But I could not understand the suffering of the thousands of women around me. And one day I could hardly bear to see that there were 800 newcomers. And then I read Isaiah 53, where the prophet sees Jesus at the cross, and he says, "Surely he has carried our sorrows." And suddenly I saw it. When Jesus finished at the cross, he had not only finished to carry our sins, but also our sorrows. And that's why we are not called to be burden bearers. We are called to be cross bearers, yes, and light bearers. But our burdens, our sorrows, we must cast on the Lord. And I often came with a very happy case, and that moment I came with a very happy case, full with burdens, and I brought it in prayer to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, here are these poor newcomers. Oh Lord, what a terrible suffering is waiting these poor new prisoners. Have mercy upon them, Lord." And then I brought Berlin. Although Berlin was 50 miles away, sometimes the sky was red by the flames. Berlin was bombed. Oh, what suffering. And I said, Lord, here are all these bombed cities in Germany, and the poor children, the sick people, the old people, all the human beings in these cities, Lord, let very soon come the end of this terrible war. Then I brought my homeland, Holland, that had to suffer so much under the oppression of the enemy. And then I brought my sister, who was far too frail in health to be a prisoner. And I said, Lord, let soon the liberation come. And so I brought named one thing after the other, till my whole bag was empty. And then I said, Amen. That was good. That was praying. That was casting your burden on the Lord. But what I did after my Amen was not good. I put all my burdens in my case, and he was happier after than before. That's not praying. Praying means cast your burdens on the Lord and leave it there. And say, the burden is too great for me to carry. Why should I do? Why should I be afraid when he who has all power and understanding waits to sustain? Then why not ask his aid? To thee, O Lord divine, I bring my care. I lay it at thy feet and leave it there. But it is the Holy Spirit who can teach us. He only can teach us how to cast your burden on the Lord and leave it there. Surrender means surrender your past, your present, your future. I learned when I was in a concentration camp from my sister Betsy how to surrender. First, I lived on the past and the future. Oh, after we are liberated. And do you still know? But then Betsy said, no, surrender your presence. Now we are called to be prisoners in Ravensbrück. And we must surrender that. And we did. And the Lord used us with our frail health and with our very small wavering faith. God used us to be a blessing for the prisoners, but we had to surrender. So many people are going from the past to the future like a tightrope walker, balancing between hope and fear, in one hand a sack with the indigested past, in the other hand a sack with the anticipated future. But when you have a surrendered life, you are like an escalator walker. I like your escalators. You stand absolutely relaxed and you go higher and higher. That's going with Jesus, but you must surrender. Surrender your limitations, your inabilities. I have found out that when I cannot do something, and I say to the Lord, oh Lord, I really cannot do it, I almost see God smile and I hear him say, oh Corrie, I knew it already a long time. I'm so glad that you now know that you can't do it. And then the greater things happened. I was in Tasmania. I had a very full schedule and every day I had to speak at noon for the radio. But the last day it was not necessary to go. So I was glad, because I was tired. But 5 minutes to noon came the minister said, are you ready for the radio? I said, no, it is not necessary. He said, yes, they expect you. Oh, I said, then we are late. Now, I don't like to be late. First, I'm a Dutch, and Dutch people don't like to be late. And then I'm a watchmaker, and watchmakers like to be in time. And then to be late in a radio station, that is horrible. So I jumped into the car. I said, hurry up. Suddenly I saw that I had my Bible, but I had not my notebook. Now my notebooks are my library. And I could not remember what I had said that whole week. Now, to say the same, to use the same illustrations, I don't like that. You can use the same text again and again, but not the same illustrations. And then for a radio, I thought, no, that's... My head was a blank. I said, Lord, I don't know what I have said. I don't know what I must say. I think you must do it. The Lord said, all right, I will do it. And he did. But I must confess you that I was not quite content. Now listen, that is now Corrie ten Boom. Do you know what I thought? If I had prepared this talk, I should have done a better job. I should have gone to a climax and then a poem, and it should have been far better than that it was now. It is perhaps good that it is the last time that I speak for the radio. Yes, just imagine. That's now Corrie ten Boom. That evening I gave an invitation to come forward, and a student came. I said, did you ever receive the Lord Jesus? He said, yes. At noon I was turning the radio and I heard such a queer English. And I thought, I must find out what that's for, from what country that lady comes. And when I was listening, I will tell you, 3 years I have refused Jesus Christ. And when you were talking, I knelt in front of the radio and I said, Lord, here's my life. I thought, after all, God has not done such a very bad job. When I was in the airplane that evening, the lady, when I would immediately fall asleep, the lady said, wait a moment, I will tell you something before you go to sleep. I've heard all your talks this week, and I had a great blessing, but that talk for the radio, that has done it in me. Oh, my friends, when we are nobodies, God can use us. Moses was 40 years somebody, and then God made him 40 years nobody, and then God could use him to be somebody. And if we are weak, we are strong. And I believe that we must become nobodies. You know, in the world, you must pass your examinations and get your diplomas, and then the world can use you. Sometimes in the kingdom of God, you must fail your examines and say, Lord, I cannot do it. And then the Lord said, now I can use you, for now I will do it. Surrender your sins. I spoke about that yesterday. When they are confessed, they are dead. Give them a burial. Surrender your bitterness. The Lord can change it in love. Surrender self. Surrender your if-onlys. I saw so many Christians over the world with long faces because there was an if-only in their hearts. If only that roommate of mine would go a little bit earlier to bed. If only I had more money. If only that professor was not so demanding that I had to work so hard. If only I was married. That was in my life an if only. I was strong and healthy, a young woman. I loved the boy, he loved me. But his mother wanted him to marry a rich wife, and I had no money. And there came a terrible moment. There came a moment that that young man brought me his fiancée. And he laid her hand in my hand and said, I wanted you to be friends together. I can tell you my heart was broken that moment. After they had gone, I went straight to my bedroom. I said, Lord Jesus, I belong to you, lock, stock, and barrel. You know it. But now again I surrender, and I surrender that part that is wounded. Lord, take it over. Demonstrate your victory, Lord Jesus, in that part of my being. In my sex life, in my longing to have children, in my longing to have married life. Do you know it was a short battle, but then Jesus' victory was demonstrated. And now there happened that the creative power that a woman has to have married life and children, I could use in the kingdom of God. And really, when Jesus takes over, he does a good job. He has made that I have never become a frustrated old spinster. I have been a very happy girl. But I had to surrender it. Surrender your if-onlys. Surrender everything. In my book, Amazing Love, I tell how Oswald Smith once spoke to us about a total surrender. And he took 4 books and he said, did you lay all on the altar? And he said, yes, I did. I said, God, here is my money. Here is my time. Here is my family. Here is my house. I laid it all on the altar. My time, yes, but I have ordered a hotel for my vacation, and these 2 weeks I keep for myself. One book went back, then not my time. My money, oh yes, but it's all the Lord's, but this money for that hotel I keep for myself, then not my money. Second book went back. My house, oh yes, it is the Lord's. We had a beautiful dedication service when we came in. But my sister is ill and she has 6 naughty boys. I cannot invite them to come into my house, for it is spick and span. They're not my house. My family, I dedicated them all to the Lord, but my oldest daughter will be a missionary. I can't allow her that. We have a big family. She must help her mother. They're not my family. And the 4th book went back. The altar is empty. I left that meeting and I had to talk with my Heavenly Father. I said, Father, is the altar empty? And Father said, yes. And I laid all on the altar. That was not the first time. I had done it before. But there is not such a thing as a once for all bringing your sins to the Lord, being cleansed, surrender and being filled. Again and again, we must do it. And now, miracles happened in my life. In the meeting, souls were saved, Christians awakened. Don't think that the Lord does not give you a hotel and vacation. Perhaps he gives you, after surrender, a more beautiful hotel than you had ordered. But in that hotel, you are used to save souls for eternity. My friends, I'm going to invite you this morning to surrender again your life to the Lord. And you must understand that when you surrender, the Lord really takes. Mr. Bill Hoyt, will you give me one moment your songbook? Now look what I do. You heard that I asked his songbook. Do you see what I do? That's not very polite. Thank you, Mr. Bill Hoyt. I asked him his book, and when he gave it me, I put my arms behind my back. Do you think that God does that? When he says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart, does he then stand so? No, he says, come to me. And when you surrender, you can trust him. that his arms are wide open. Surrender yourself to him. There was a very simple woman in America who had one boy. She was a widow. And she worked very hard, and he became a doctor. He was a clever boy. He was a very good doctor. He was later far away from his mother and married a rich wife. Once he said to his wife, "There's a very simple woman who has been good to me when I was a child. Do you think it is all right that we invite her to come and live with us?" His wife said, "Of course, she is very welcome because she has been good to you when you were a child. And we have an empty attic room. We can invite her to live there." He invited his mother, but at the station he said to her, "Mother, never tell anyone that you are my mother." He was ashamed for his own mother. And there she lived, in an attic room. She always prayed for her children downstairs. But once the doctor's wife found out that that lady upstairs was his mother, and she went to her and said, "Oh, mother, come down, live in our whole house. I didn't know that you were our mother." From that moment on, that house was blessed. Where does the Holy Spirit live in your house, in your life? Did you give him only an attic room? My friend, if the Lord is only in a corner of your life, you cannot expect his presence and strength to protect in the other parts. Is it costly to accept? Yes. It means losing your life for Jesus' sake, but that means to have his victory and his love in every corner of your life. Yes, it is the greatest joy to surrender all. It means Jesus' victory in your body, soul, mind, in your finances, in your friendship, in everything. And my friends, is it still difficult? Oh, just pray, make me willing to be made willing to surrender all. And is the life abundant? And now I've shown you the great joy of the total surrender. And if you do not surrender self, then you are not a victorious Christian. But now, it is a joy, but it is a must. We are bought by a very high price, the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus has given his very life blood for you and me. We think often so cheaply about Jesus' cross. But his cross was not cheap. It was not beautiful. It was cruel. It was terrible. And perhaps we in the concentration camps understood a little bit better what the cross of Jesus meant by our own suffering. One of the most terrible things we had to go through was that we had to stand on a naked parrot. They stripped us of all our clothing and we had to stand there a long time. 7 times I had to go through this terrible happening. The first time was the worst. I could hardly bear it. I said, "Betsy," my sister, I said, "Betsy, this I cannot bear. I've never felt so humbled, so humiliated, so cold, so miserable." I said, "Betsy, I cannot bear this. This is worse than anything else what the enemy has done." And then it was as if suddenly I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible says, they took his garments, he hung there naked, and he hung there for me. And I said, Betsy, Jesus carried your and my sins at the cross, and they took his garments. And by our own suffering, we could understand only a very small fraction of the suffering of Jesus, but it made us so thankful that we could bear our own suffering. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Jesus has bought you with a very high price, his very lifeblood. Did you give him his money's worth? May I ask you a question? Did you experience the last month the rivers of living water go out of you, stream through you, and touch the very thirsty people around you? You didn't? There is a text in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro this world to strengthen him whose heart is fully turned towards him. What do you think when I keep this cup downwards? Do you think that there comes water in and out? Of course not. Do you really think that when your life is turned towards the world, that you can be used for the rivers of living water? The Lord Jesus said that, of the Holy Spirit? No, of course not. But you are better, I know it, you are all here in a training school to go to the front line of the battle. Are you 50-50? 50% turned towards God, the world, and 50% turned towards the world? Look what happens. Nothing comes in and nothing comes out. Of course. But I am sure, after all the talks that I have had with many of you, that you are better. Are you 90% turned towards God and only 10% turned towards the world? Oh, then you are better than Christians who are only 60% turned towards God and 40% turned towards the world. Let us look what happens. Yes, there comes water in and there comes water out, but at one side, only when I turn the cup 100%, not 99, but 100% upwards. Now look what happens. At all sides it streams over. What are you? You are not this. Your life is not turned towards the world. Are you 50-50? Are you 99%? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro to fill with his Holy Spirit all those in this room, in this hall, who is 100% surrendered. What is your answer? Will we bow our head and give the answer to Jesus? Lord Jesus, I know that you have bought me with a very high price, your very lifeblood. Oh, forgive me that I did not give you your money's worth. Oh God, glorify yourself at my expense. Send me the bill. anything, Lord. I set no price. I will not dicker and bargain. Glorify yourself. I will take the consequences. Lord, make me willing to be made willing to surrender all. Oh, Lord, what can you do with a total surrendered sinner, saved by grace? Thank you for the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw many hands, and the Lord saw the hands. Those of you who have raised your hand, have a talk with the Lord and tell him, Lord, what did this mean that I raised my hand? What is your will for my life? Now, those who did not raise your hand, have a talk with the Lord. And Jesus understands you and he loves you. Perhaps you can just say, you have only to say, Lord, you know that I didn't raise my hand, but I raised my life, my heart. And the Lord is happy, for he will not have your hand, but your whole life. Perhaps some of you did not raise your hand because there is something in your life that you could not or would not surrender. Just tell it, Jesus. And he understands you. And when you are alone with him, then you will perhaps surrender all. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glory without fault and with unspeakable joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before time was, now, and in all ages to come. Amen. Jesus was victor, Jesus is victor, and Jesus will be victor, and he is coming soon. God bless you.